Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of light, in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. If you want to talk, you have to press number 1 after dialing that number. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic: George Floyd new leaked video John Neville, video released, similarities. Officer Lane's attorney and Carson Tucker's opinion. So that's Officer Lane's attorney in the George Floyd case and Carson Tucker's opinion also in the George Floyd case regarding this new video release. They got some new stuff out there, and these guys feel that it has an impact on the case, or at least on Officer Lane anyway. We'll see. Make your own, draw your own conclusion. Check the video out yourself. Description. So, Officer Lane's attorney and Tucker Carlson think new video of the arrest of George Floyd should dismiss charges against him. So they think that, look at that evidence. Look at this. My guy should be dismissed, you know? So they saying, you know. Anyway, recently released video from John Neville began being restrained in prison after being told he had just had a seizure. This, I think he was restrained December 2019 in prison in North Carolina. We'll get into it later. And anyway, the reason why I have him on here on the case also because of the similarities of what these two men went through. Neville also pleaded, "I can't breathe," before he died, and he called for his mother. The similarities are chilling in these two cases. And this was happened. This, I think, Neville happened in 2019, December 2019. I think George Floyd happened about a couple of months after that, maybe 6 months or so. And I think in May, right? Anyway, sometimes I wonder if we will ever be rid of the monsters of human degradation, racism, and disenfranchisement. Videos like these tell tragic stories about men who should be amongst us, but are not. I wonder if we will ever truly be free from this vicious beast. They make me think, though it is not normal to treat a man like this, it is probably more common than we think. It is weird because during both incidents, the police and the corrections officers are so calm and cavalier. From the Daily Mail, Tucker Carlson thinks, "We're still not precisely sure how George Floyd died." This is after the autopsy, y'all. He says, "The death of George Floyd was well documented by onlookers and security cameras, and two separate autopsies determined that his death was a homicide," right? But that didn't stop Tucker Carlson from acting like new body cam footage leaked to the Daily Mail this week somehow changed the story completely. Anyway, from Heavy.com and the Daily Mail, it's basically the newly leaked portions of the officer George of officers George Floyd body camera video shows, not George Floyd's body camera, of the officers in the George Floyd incident, right? It says the video show rookie officer Thomas Lane and J.A. Kung, right? Those are the guys that posted him when he was in his SUV, right? They Lane orders Floyd out of the vehicle at gunpoint. But Floyd repeatedly resists cooperation, pleading with officers not to shoot him. The two officers try to get him into the squad car to no avail. That's a short version, right? Floyd repeatedly says he can't breathe. In the video, he complains about being claustrophobic. "Hey, I'm going to die." He's repeatedly saying all of these things, right? Lane is asking his training officer. This is his training. Oh, y'all seen Training Day with Denzel? Well, Derek Chauvin is the real version of that. Said he asked his training officer, Derek Chauvin, whether they should roll Floyd over because of the delirium. They're identifying that, hey, he's going through something mentally, right? Which is a phenomenon known by law enforcement. Chauvin responds no and says that's why an ambulance is coming. I'll probably just die this way. That's what Floyd said. Floyd says at one point in the newly released video, the two cops have responded to the scene because of a report that Floyd tried to pass counterfeit money, right? Anyway, they said there's more than an 8-minute portion of the body cam video obtained by Daily Mail, right? The footage includes more than 18 minutes from Officer Alex Kung's body cam and 10 minutes from Officer Lane's. Daily Mail explained of the leak. At one point, Floyd says, y'all, I'm going to die in here. I'm going to die, man. He said, I just had COVID, man. I don't want to go back to that. So this man is in, he's in distress. He's in mental and physical distress. The irony is that Floyd actually died as he predicted. The officers gave little to no attention to his pleas for life or the consequences of not responding appropriately to a detainee or civilian in custody they identified as being in medical, they identified as being in medical and mental distress. In doing so, the officers agitated, exacerbated, and the life-threatening conditions. When is it appropriate for an officer of the law to draw his weapon? I mean, you want the man to come out of the car, you just get his attention. Is it appropriate for him to draw his gun on him? I would think to defend against an imminent threat of life, serious bodily injury, or of self or of a civilian. So you're trying to defend somebody. I'm going to stop you from hurting this lady over here. I'm going to stop you from hurting me. Right? Now he can draw his gun, right? I fear for my life is not a valid reason in the absence of a valid imminent life threat. I fear for my life not a valid reason in the absence of a valid imminent life threat. Now, I want to keep saying that because we keep hearing this theme, I fear for my life. So I shot him. Y'all try that on the street. Fear for your life. Gun somebody down. See what happened to you. Fear that motivates an officer to use or threaten deadly force in and of itself is indicative of an officer's inability to perform his or her job in a rational, unbiased, ethical, professional manner. A scared, racist, hateful police officer is a threat to the community he is supposed to service and his fellow officers. Was Floyd actually under arrest? I saw the video. I took a look at it. You know, I didn't hear anyone on the video inform Floyd that he was under arrest or explain why they approached him. Is it logical to assume that in order to resist arrest, you should be aware, informed that you are under arrest and why? Since they only leaked portions of the body cam video, we cannot be sure. One thing is for sure, they are not being transparent. Right, they leaked the whole thing. We've seen the worst of it. From the Journal of Criminal Law and Criminology, resisting arrest. They say that the common type of situation which may face an officer is where a person resists arrest. Under the present law, it is important that the officer know whether the arrestee has committed a misdemeanor or felony. When the officer seeks to arrest a misdemeanor, he is prohibited in most states from using deadly force. The reason for this limitation upon the officer is the fact that the misdemeanor is a minor crime and resistance which does not threaten the arresting officer with death or serious bodily harm is not sufficient to warrant the taking of the misdemeanor's life. There are a few states, however, in which the courts have upheld the officer's right to use deadly force in making the arrest of a resisting misdemeanor. The The reason behind this decision seems to be that it is the duty of the officer to be the aggressor. Pay close attention to this. The reason behind this decision seems to be that it is the duty of the officer to be the aggressor, and hence he must put forth sufficient force to make the arrest. However, since the great majority of states have forbidden the use of deadly force in making the arrest of a misdemeanor, the officer who would be best advised not to use his gun in such a situation unless he is certain that his state is one in which such is authorized. The person who is I'm hearing some noise. I don't know how that happened. Hold on, y'all. These people just came. Oh, okay, I don't need to do it. Hold on for a minute, y'all. There you go. All right. If you want to talk, just press the number one. I don't know if something happened. Your mic's open up. That's why you got that noise in there. Okay. Anyway, they go on to say, where a person is resisting arrest, has committed a felony, and the arrest is a proper one, the officer may use deadly force if its use is necessary. If its use is necessary to subdue the arrestee and use such force, however, it is important to remember two things. First, make sure that the arrestee is aware of the fact that he is being arrested by an officer of the law. And second, that there is no other way to make the arrest or subdue the criminal but to use such force. There is no other way to make the arrest or subdue the criminal but to use such force. An officer is not justified in killing a felon if the arrest could have been made without the use of such extreme force. Now, that's in the, they're talking about killing somebody right here. So why is this man, this rookie, why is he doing that? Ford was approached by police because a store owner stated he allegedly tried to pass a counterfeit $20 bill. Floyd could have been a victim of the counterfeiter also. Police tapped on Floyd's SUV driver's window to get his attention. After getting Floyd's attention, it's not clear if Lane and Kung informed Mr. Floyd that he was under arrest, why he was under arrest, and if he was read his rights. They call it Mirandized. The video does not show this was done. I'm sure they plan on questioning Floyd since, you know, somebody said he had a counterfeit buck, right? If a police officer arrests a person without asking him any questions after the arrest, the Miranda rights are not. No, they say if a police officer arrests a person without asking him any questions after the arrest, the Miranda rights are not necessary. How do you know if you're under arrest or not? Now, I see a lot of people on YouTube asking, am I under arrest? Because if I'm not, I'm out. Let me say, this is Law Facts from the Ohio State Bar Association. You have the right to be told why you are being arrested and the nature of the charges against you, the crime for which you are being arrested. If you are arrested on a warrant, you have the right to see the warrant with reasonable time after your arrest. If read it and make sure your name appears on it and to see the charge against you. You have the right to be told your constitutional rights. That's your Miranda rights. That's that thing that you, I don't know if y'all, I don't know if anybody ever got read that. You have the right where they say you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say may be held against you. You have a right to attorney. Do they do that? I don't know. Y'all know who I'm talking to out there. Y'all ever heard that? Because I haven't. Anyway, back to the story. Ford was simply, the comment. Floyd was simply rudely instructed to put your effing hands up there at gunpoint. This language is threatening by itself. It becomes life-threatening with a gun pointed at your head. That don't sound nice. Why is a rookie cop, why is a rookie cop pointing his gun at Floyd's head? Because when you're sitting down, that's a headshot. That's from the shoulders up. And somebody standing up, that's a, y'all know that, right? All right, anyway. Is that a part of his training, or will he be held accountable for threatening to use lethal force when there is no lethal threat? Because I ain't hear nothing about that. Floyd expressed fear of being shot again by police. And he's telling, hey, I thought I got shot before, right? Scary cop, so I get the gun, right? This was the first time Floyd pleaded with police that he couldn't breathe as they attempted to put him in the back of a police SUV. So, because I don't know if you've seen the videos, the video that they had him first. These two guys, they set him down on a wall. Then next thing you know, they're walking him across the street somewhere else. Right? Oh, that's how the first video, right? And this video was a lot different. Police did not attempt to de-escalate the incident. In fact, they escalated the conflict by cursing at Floyd, pointing a gun at his head, and disrespecting Floyd, telling them that he suffered from anxiety and claustrophobia. And disregarding Floyd. They disregarded everything, all the red flags Floyd was throwing out there. They didn't have any regard for that. Right? Back to the story. Police body cam footage shows movement arrest of George Floyd at this, you know, the first time. He was in terror. Right? When the guy pointed the gun at his head and everything like that. And I understand it, because that gun could go off. All that guy's going to say, I fear for my life. He's going to be dead. That guy's going to be walking the street, home eating with his wife, rubbing his kids on the head and stuff like that, while you being a dirt somewhere. Because this dude want to pull his gun out for nothing. But he's afraid. They say Floyd resisted as the cops tried to force him back in the car, which I just said, right? Lane pulls out his gun, which Officer Lane, the rookie, right, pulled his gun out. Floyd 46 begs him not to shoot him, saying, I'll look you eye to eye. Please don't shoot me, man. I lost my mom, man. It's all this shit. He sobs. That sound like a person is threatening to you? Anyway, they try to put him in the back of the car. He said, I can't breathe, numerous times, and calls for his mom. No, that's on the sidewalk. They put him on the sidewalk, and that's like three people on his body. He said, I can't breathe, numerous times, called for his mom, right? Police ignored more red flags from the citizens that are saying, hey, you're killing him. Get off of him, right? He says, I'll probably die this way, right? That's what Floyd says, and that's exactly what happened to him. So, I don't know. So, for some reason, the new body cam information, this the attorney for Lane and Tucker Carlson, he's like a talk show host or reporter or something. Still, that Lane, the guy that pulled the gun out, should be dismissed from the case. And I don't understand that at all. We have seen Floyd murdered on the street on a videotape, right? May 25th, 2020. All videotapes of what occurred that dreadful day should be made public. I mean, why do we get bits and pieces? What's up with that? I mean, that's not transparency. If these guys are innocent, a videotape can't hurt them. What's going on here? Am I the only person that thinks there's something terribly wrong even with the fact that they're not producing these videotapes? We've seen the worst that could happen. We saw them actually kill this man. Anyway, it seems suspicious not to release all the video evidence to the public. The worst has already been witnessed, right? We've already seen that anyway, right? So according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune, back to this new stuff, body cams are total 65 minutes of new stuff. Court, it's not 65 minutes on the YouTube, though. courts allow people to view them by appointment only. What's up with that? Somebody explain that to me. Lane's attorney, Earl Gray, filed the videos as evidence to argue that the charges against Lane, that's the rookie that pulled the gun out, right? should be dismissed. That's what the newspaper report not meant. They want him to be dismissed. Now, on the contrary, Officer Lane did not inform Floyd that he was under arrest, did not read him his rights, threatened Floyd with lethal force, pointed a gun at his head, provided no intervention for Floyd's alleged medical needs, and participated in and provided no intervention in the public physical torture of Mr. Floyd. Sat on his lower body. He was on the, I don't know which one he was. In the subsequent murder of Floyd, he is definitely not a candidate for any charges to be dismissed. He should have more charges placed against him, especially for pointing a weapon at Floyd's head. I don't understand that. I do get it because I'm a bring you around to speed because I understand how things work now. You have to think out of the box, not like you might be thinking to even see what people are saying. Because Sam seems to maybe got this process that, well, it's just say something and we'll go with it and we get, you know, we'll help you out, get you off, we'll help you out through this process the best we can when you get to certain stages of the legal system, depending on who you are. Kung did not inform Floyd that he was under arrest, did not read him his rights, was present when Lane threatened Floyd with lethal force, provided no intervention for Floyd's alleged medical needs, and participated in and provided no intervention in the public physical torture. He sat on Floyd's lower body and subsequent murder of Floyd. He is, or stood, no, he didn't sit. I think they stood. Anyway, he is definitely not a candidate for any charges to be dismissed. He should have more charges placed against him, especially for not intervening when Lane pointed his weapon at Floyd's head. Should have been an intervention there. I don't know how to say this guy's name. Tao Tao provided no intervention. That's the guy that was standing on guard watching over everything. He provided no intervention for Floyd's alleged medical need and participated in and provided no intervention in the public physical torture. He stood over and guarded the situation and subsequent murder of Floyd. He is definitely not a candidate for any charges to be dismissed. He stood as a sentry while Floyd was being murdered. Chauvin, Training Day, Alonzo. This is Day Alonzo right here. He deserves the same empathy he showed for his ex-coworker, George Floyd. They worked at a club together. And he's on this man's neck. On this man's neck like he don't even know him. Anyway, I say he should be charged with first-degree murder because the first step to justice is to charge a person with the correct crime, right? He showed a total disregard for human life, pleads from Floyd stating he couldn't breathe, and pleads from civilians stating that Floyd's life was in imminent danger. If the civilians could recognize the danger, Chauvin, Alonzo, right, should have been able to recognize the danger too. Chauvin does not appear to be concerned about the prospect of murdering Floyd. Neither does his trainees. He looks like he's waiting on his order of coffee and donuts. Now, these trainees, I hate to think you got to be trained to notice, right, that somebody is dying, because people walking down the street observed this and were very conscious of, hey, what you are doing is going to kill this man. So I mean, I hear a lot of people talking about the police need to be trained. Come on now. They don't take training for that. That's not training. That's respect for human life. Respect for a black man. The Star Tribune reported that Minnesota attorney Kenneth Ellison denies the leak came from his side. We don't even care. Why is it a leak? The video cam evidence, why is it leaking out? Why isn't it being presented? What is the problem? Is it going to hurt the guy's case? Is that why you don't want to present that evidence? Because, hey, if they're innocent, show the video evidence. Let's see it. Let's see everything. So far, what I've seen, it hurts their cases. And I'm assuming that if it's a jury trial, they're going to see that video. So it doesn't matter if we see it now or we see it if we're selected as a juror. These guys should be in a whole lot more trouble. Anyway, Kung Lane and Thao are facing charges of aiding and abetting murder and manslaughter. Okay? The attorney representing the Floyd family, Ben Crump, released a statement saying video releases shows Floyd was not a threat to officers. I'm in agreement with that. I wish I could show video, but we don't have that kind of platform here. But I'm advising you guys, take a look at the video, the new video. And this man is not, this man is in terror, if anything. Anyway, from CNN, the independent autopsy says Floyd died of asphyxiation from sustained pressure when his neck and back were compressed by Minneapolis police officers during the arrest, right? That's what CNN reported, that an independent autopsy says he died from asphyxiation, choking, blockage of his airway from sustained pressure when his neck, Mr. Chauvin, right, and back were compressed by Chauvin and the other officers during his arrest. Now, on with the story, the autopsy showed that Floyd had a heart attack with complications of restraint and neck compression. That's a hell of a way, man. I guess there were, at one point, there were warring opinions by independent pathologists and the Hennepin County Medical Examiner into whether George Floyd asphyxiated because of the actions of the police officers. The Hennepin County Medical Examiner says they didn't find evidence of that. They said he died of a heart attack, but also mentioned restraint. In a late evening press release on June 1st, the Hennepin County Medical Examiner's office stated that Floyd's cause of death was cardiopulmonary arrest complicating law enforcement, subdual restraint, and neck compression. Manner of death, homicide. All right? So they changed their tune. How injury occurred? Descendant experienced a cardiopulmonary arrest while being restrained by law enforcement officers. He had a heart attack while being restrained. They listed other significant conditions as arteriosclerotic and hypertensive heart disease, fentanyl intoxication, and recent methamphetamine use, right? Methamphetamine, we used to call that crank back in the day. They added the manner of death classification is a statutory function of the medical examiner as a part of death certification for purposes of vital statistics and public health. Manner of death is not a legal determination of culpability or intent and should not be used to usurp the judicial process. Okay? That's slick right there, right? Because here's the thing about that. That is very suspicious that the county medical examiner changed a professional determination of Floyd's cause of death. When someone dies from an overdose, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, it is not considered a homicide. A homicide occurs when a person accidentally or intentionally causes someone's death. In short, the cause of death is the actions of a person. Floyd died due to the actions and inactivity of these four officers. They failed to act in a manner which would have preserved Floyd's life and collectively acted in a manner which caused or contributed to Floyd's untimely demise. Why any of these officers have been so cavalier about would any of these officers have been so cavalier about a fellow officer being held in a life-threatening position and choked to death with a knee on his neck on the street? Would they have been that cavalier about that? I don't think so. The intervention would have been swift and deadly. Men have been killed for less, much less. It is unethical and illegal for police officers to watch or participate in the intimidation, torture, and killing of any man or woman. If Floyd's death is a result of a homicide, we must look for the individuals that caused or contributed to his death. That is what the ME's conclusion directed us to. It said someone is responsible for his death, that they just happen to be on video. It's someone that we know are responsible. They just happen to be on video. We do not have to look for them. Unfortunately, we're living in times where murdering someone on video may not be enough to convict someone of murder. How you like that? They may not receive a sentence relative to a civilian sentence if they are convicted at all. This recent video evidence compounds the charges and is a witness to how officers agitated and escalated the conflict with the already afraid for his life, George Floyd. Yet, Tucker Carlson still thinks, well, still not precisely sure how George Floyd died. Can you believe that? This man make a statement like that? He says, the death of George Floyd was well documented by onlookers and security cameras, and two separate autopsies determined that his death was homicide. But that didn't stop Tucker Carlson from trying to act like new body cam footage leaked to the Daily Mail this weekend somehow changes the story completely, right? Because I don't understand Tucker Carlson at all, or the attorney. It seems like they're grabbing for straws. But I have to be skeptical about this because I've seen it. These guys draft for straws all the time, and miraculously, these straws are able to save these guys in the courtroom. So, and me and you draft for straws. We up its creek. These guys driving for straws, and look, it's a chance they could be walking the street in a short time. Tucker started the lengthy opening portion of his show acknowledging that Floyd's death was a monumental event in American history, but then went straight to acting as though we really don't know nothing about this case at all, right? That's not what he said. This is what the reporter said. So, I said, Tucker Carlson thought, that is because old habits die hard. He can't help himself. He is accustomed to twisting, spinning, and controlling the narrative. He either doesn't know or doesn't care about the reality. Back to the story. On Memorial Day weekend of this year, a man called George Floyd had died in police custody in Minneapolis, and right, he went on with the whole thing. He said the wholesale reordering of our most basic institution is exaggerating. Because he's really saying that he's changing things based on this here situation, right? Or George Floyd. Me and a lot of people I know are saying, hey, this is old. This is way overdue. It's late. Later than late. PG. That is, as the author of this article stated, at least exaggerated and broad. If the issue of police culture of violence had been addressed appropriately, there would not have been a George Floyd, or should I say, George Floyd. Who knows how many George Floyds there are? Police continue to agitate, escalate incidents that lead to the death of a civilian. Disproportionately black civilians. Apparently, any can get it, as Adrian Broner said. Black Americans, Latino Americans, white Americans, and Native Americans. Anybody can be a victim to this. But black Americans are becoming victim to this disproportionately. As I said, old habits die hard. The police department is historically, right? The police department historically have terrorized the black community, from the slave patrols, slave hunters, till the current day quasi-military police organization. Y'all remember back in the 60s, they was beating anybody up, protesting, trying to get some rights, want to vote, want to eat next to white folks in a restaurant, want to go in the front door of the restaurant, go to white schools and so forth like that. And the Black Panthers saying, hey, we ain't taking no more of this shit. Y'all just ain't coming in here beating us up, et cetera, et cetera. Right? I've seen all that. It's difficult to change an idea, but the behavior must be addressed. If people don't hate you, you can't legislate it. You can pray on it. That's good, but you're not going to change people. You have to change themselves. But the behavior must be addressed. You can hate whoever you want, but you don't have the right to act on that, on somebody, because you hate them for nothing. I mean, you didn't kill your brother, you didn't kill, rape your child. It makes no sense. You just hate a man just because he's black, just because he's Latino, he's Asian, or whatever the case might be. You hate him because he's Italian. You might hate him because he's Italian. I don't know how it's going, Stop making excuses, double standards, and loopholes for wrongdoers and transgressors in blue. If it were just a few bad apples, the systemic intimidation, disenfranchisement, and murder of blacks and other peoples would have long disappeared. Bad boys in blue are bad for our community. Stop the nonsense and the senseless violence. Come on. This is ridiculous. We still talking about this. And people trying to talk around it like it didn't happen. Anyway. Carson saying Floyd's death changed everything. It was a pivot point in American history. No matter what side you're on, that's very clear at this point. So with all that in mind, the significance of the event in mind, it's striking how little we really know months later about how exactly George Floyd died. The official story is clear. It couldn't be clearer. Established news organization states, as a matter of factual certainty, that Floyd was in the world, in words of the NBC News and so many others, quote, murdered by the Minneapolis Police Department. Autopsies performed by the county medical examiner and by the independent pathologist who were brought in by Floyd's family agreed Floyd's death was a homicide. So what is wrong with Tucker? Tucker nonetheless tried to sell his viewers on the idea that we really don't know anything about what happened, they said. We're still not precisely sure how George Floyd died. That's what Carson Tucker said. Well, excuse me for being stupid. Carson claimed once again, evoking the supposed threat of cancel culture. Like, you can't say no. He said, you asked me questions about George Floyd, and you're banned from the internet. So, that's the cancel culture. Oh, if you don't like what you said, you can't work. You can't eat. Cancel culture, I'm not in agreement with that either. You cancel a person for a reason. So, not because you just don't like what they say. If that's the case, I see a whole lot of stuff that could be canceled if I had the power to cancel it. But I wouldn't, because it's always good to know what people think. Anyway. They say it's been written in stone that George Floyd is a martyr, right? Period. That's all you need to know. Shut up. So I guess he thinks that George is not a martyr and things like that. I don't think George said, hey, I want to be a martyr. Why don't y'all dudes choke me out on the street today? I don't think he wanted that. But in America, that's not good enough, he said. This is Carson Tucker. He said, but in America, that's not good enough. It's not a real answer. In free society, citizens have a right to know why things are changing so quickly. On what grounds are we dismantling police departments, rewriting curriculums, firing people from their jobs? Are you kidding? You just killed a man. You get firing you from your job is nothing. If I could kill a person and all I'm going to get is fired from my job, are you kidding? Makes no sense. Tucker then spends the next several minutes weaving a new tale about Floyd, in which he was so unruly that the police were forced to manhandle him. Oh, yeah, this big bat. Oh, yeah, we got to get him in a car. Are you kidding? Watch the video, man sitting in the car. They came over the car. Boy had a gun pointed out first. So, you know, you expect somebody to just be, and he's been shot by police in the same, under the same kind of circumstances. You can't know that, but you do know if you point a gun at somebody, they're going to get very nervous. Some people get very, very, very nervous when you point pistols at them. So anyway, he played up the fact that this is the same thing they did with Trayvon Martin. Oh, he brought weed to school one day. I'm going to look at whatever I can find wrong. The same thing they did with Boston John. Oh, he had weed in his house. Is that it's coming up with all this BS? Oh, he had fentanyl in his system. That the issues of breathing came from that, a narrative that began dramatically with misleading primarily autopsy report delivered by the Minneapolis police in May. Once again, both autopsies actually determined that Floyd's death was a homicide, right? Because the first autopsy was misleading, as they said. Oh, we're going to leave it at that. That's suspicious to me, too, and that looks like some more conspiracy stuff to me. Anyway. Now, by itself, the video proves nothing, he said. By itself, the video proves nothing. He says, by itself, the video proves nothing. Videos never do prove anything conclusively, Carson claimed. And I first read that, I was like, what the hell? You can see him killing a man, right? Then I said, wait a minute. He got a point about videos not proving anything conclusively. You still have to get past the court system, the judge, the prosecutor, right, and the judge. You got to get past those guys. Laquan McDonald was shot 16 times, and the officer, Jason Van Dyke, received 6 years and 9 months. He falsely claimed Laquan came after him with a small knife and was a threat even as he shot him as he lay on the ground. Laquan was shot 16 times. Mostly as he shot on the ground. I don't know how many times he shot him. He was up twice, three times, four times. I don't know. But he shot him on the ground. It was a lot. And that's on video. You can check that out. That's on YouTube, y'all. Van Dyke shot Laquan within seconds of arriving on the scene. There were other officers there. That is a cruel joke about the whole videos never do prove anything conclusively. But it proves the systemic support, right? If you have systemic support, you can lie your way out of a death sentence if you wear blue. It doesn't matter how ridiculous the lie is or if the video contradicts the lie. Carson Tucker stated Floyd had fentanyl, 11 nanograms per milliliter, right, in his system, enough to cause an overdose. He stated that doses have been caused by doses of as much as 3 nanograms. Signs of fentanyl toxicity are severe respiratory depression, seizures, hypertension, coma, and death. Floyd complained about having problems breathing before Chauvin placed his knee on his neck, right? This is what Carson is trying to get to. Officers asked him if he was on something and called for medical assistance. Carson is suggesting that Floyd died from an overdose. It is funny how Carson accepts the county MA and independent examiner's information determining Floyd's drug use, but not the information determining the cause of death. Carson does not appear to be interested in the facts as much as he is interested, right, in conjuring up a cause of death that is not related to the actions of the police officers. I guess the county medical examiner and the independent examiner's determination failed to conclusively tell what actually happened to. I guess Carson Tucker knows best. Carson alleges that the media is censoring anything that questions or disputes George Floyd's narrative. On what grounds are we dismantling police departments? I don't see no police department dismantled, not around here. Rewriting curriculum, firing people from their job. The video proves Chauvin placed his knee on the neck of Floyd for over 8 minutes, and two other police officers held Floyd's lower body to the ground with their body weight. If they believe Floyd to be in medical distress, why are they restraining him in a way that compromises his ability to breathe face down on the ground after he said he couldn't breathe and he's handcuffed behind his back? Draw your hands behind your back. Your rib cage become more shallow. Lay you down on the ground. It's even harder to breathe. Just do that. Why are they doing this to this man? To put it simply, for those who may have difficulty understanding, Floyd was already experiencing shortness of breath, and the Minneapolis police actions caused Floyd to lose what breath of life he was struggling to maintain. Come on now. As far as rewriting curriculum, it's scary to think that these guys need to be trained to respect life, preserve life, and simply to do their job. Maybe they were doing their job, and their job is to act with little regard for the lives of the people of the community they service, or maybe this community or ethnic group. If it isn't their job, they're in violation. Resisting arrest is not a death sentence. It's Floyd was never told that he was under arrest. He could not be resisting arrest. There is no evidence that Floyd was Mirandized. Floyd obviously was having some problems and appeared to be in physical mental distress. He resisted officers placing him in the back of a police vehicle and attempted to explain why. He was not a threat. He was not unruly. He was unruly. If he was unruly, that does not give the police the right to execute him. The county ME and the independent examiner's autopsy both stated the cause of death was homicide, right? Dead by a human being, by the hands of a human, by the actions of a human being, right? Sorry, Tucker Carson, an attorney for Officer Lane. The leaked video doesn't help the officer's case. It's more damaging to their case, and that is probably why it hasn't been released, or the rest of it that they're not showing. The new video does not show if the officers informed Floyd that he was under arrest, reading him his rights, and the officer Lane drew his weapon on an unarmed, non-life-threatening civilian sitting in his car. Floyd is under physical and mental duress and distress. Floyd is afraid that the officer Lane will shoot him because his gun is pointed at his head. Come on now. By now, you would think law enforcement would know to respond to potential medical duress and distress scenarios as if it were medical duress and distress scenarios. Come on, this is just crazy. We have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Sound like they came there ready to kill over that $20. That's what it sound like. Guns drawn and whatnot.
Yeah, you pulling a gun out on me. Yeah, that's crazy. Now, I didn't hear anybody say anything about that. Through this whole process, I haven't heard anybody say this guy should not have pulled his gun out and he's being disciplined or fired or something for that. Well, come on, that's how people get killed, right?
Yeah.
So what was he gonna say if his gun accidentally went off and he was so scared? you know. And his gun went off. He's going to say, as I said previously, I feared for my life. Before he jumped forward.
Yeah. Or he's going to say he meant to use his taser. He threw his taser in his hand, not a pistol.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that. That's why I forgot about that one. Come on now. This is a bunch of BS. And it's this way because it's been that way for folk,
forever.
Black folk in this country for a long time. Hard to get justice.
Forever.
Hard to get some justice. And I'm starting to I'm thinking about this. I'm like, wow, well, this happened before George Floyd. This other incident, the Forsyth County Jail in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The judge just released this two videos. This happened in December 2019. He released two videos, right? It was total about 45 minutes of footage, right? In June 2020, it happened in December 2019. What is going on? This man was in a North Carolina jail. So the man who died after his arrest, he was struggling with guards to get up from where he laid on the floor, calling out for his mother, yelling, "I can't breathe," for more than 20 times as they restrained him. This man fell from the second bunk in a prison cell on the floor. He came in saying, "I think he had a seizure." So. And I was like, he's 56 years old, you know, so the nurse was in there. There's a nurse and about maybe four or five guards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm looking at him, I'm like, okay, he's sick. He just had a seizure. Four or five jailers and a nurse was charged in July with involuntary manslaughter of Neville's death. It's either they're the stupidest people on the earth, right? Or like you said, they're not trained well for the job. You know what I'm saying? Because they had a nurse there, and it doesn't make sense. The man had a seizure, right?
Mm-hmm.
These guys came in. Here's what they did. They said, "Hey, we came in there." They said, "Are you ready to come out now? Looks like you had a seizure." The guard explains that he is having a medical problem and tells them to calm down. The guy was startled, right? Man, you had a seizure and you fell off the second, that's like 4 feet off the floor. You know what I mean? It's like 5 feet off the floor, the second bump. And he fell off of that, hit the floor, man. You know, he could have been injured, plus the seizure. You know what I'm saying? So then he was fighting to get up and yelling, you know, "Get off me," you know, you cussing, crying, "Let me up, let me up, let me up, let me up." At one point, he yelled for his mom, right? Is a group of four to five guards flip him over on his stomach and cuffs his hands behind his back after he continues to struggle. Somebody help me out with this here. What in the world would make somebody, man, just had a seizure, just fell off the second bunk, right? He just fell from at least 5 feet right up, right? And he had a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you flipping him over on his stomach and cupping his hands behind his back? As I said, put your hands behind your back. You're going to find that your rib cage is going to tighten up. Lay on the floor. That's going to be less expansive for you to breathe. So they're on top of this man, holding him down. They ended up putting a white mesh hood over his head, stood him up, walked him through a door, and strapped him into a restraining chair as he moans and breathes heavily. That's cold, man. That's ice cold for a man in medical distress. Like, it's a nurse there while all that goes on? So I'm like, okay, well, what are you supposed to do with somebody having a seizure? Or is seizure, an inmate having a seizure, is that different than a civilian having a seizure? He's in jail. He's not going nowhere. He's in his jail cell. What is the problem here? You understand what I'm saying? He's in there for some BS. Domestic thing with it hitting his girl or some stuff like that. Accused of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they say one of the things you're supposed to do is don't move them, cushion their head, give them something soft, don't hold them down. They held this guy down. All the video there, they're restraining this guy, and they cuffed him with his hands behind his back. Is that part of a medical procedure? Anybody out there, the EMT? Doctor, is that some new stuff y'all got going on that you cuff somebody behind their back? that inmate stuff or police stuff that we don't give a. Because I've seen police cuff guys. They shoot people and they cuff them. You ain't cuffing somebody shot. You just deep dead. You know what I'm saying? Anyway,
yep.
I just went through this whole thing about what you do with somebody who has seizures, right? They talk about epilepsy and other seizures. And a lot of times they reach in here, they said that he might feel strange or be upset. Reassure him that them might be reassuring them might be helpful, right? They said, do not restrain the person as this may upset or confuse him. Do not restrain the person, right, as this may upset or confuse him. What's going on, huh?
Right.
I found that going to stay with them until they recover and can safely return to what they had done doing before. Know what they did with Mr. Nevels? After they got him in a room and he was yelling, I can't breathe, they hog-tied him. He was on his stomach, hands behind his back, right? Bent his legs up, right? That's like hog-tied, right?
Mm-hmm.
Left him in the room. Here's a man you say fell off of a 5 feet and had a seizure. They hog-tied him, left him in a room and left him. Put him in a room and left him on his stomach, handcuffed behind his back. What kind of medical procedure is that? No gurney. No gurney. They put him in his chair with this net thing over his head that talking about he might spit. I'm like, this is crazy. They said, stay with the person and gently guide them away from any danger. Well, they brought danger to this man. They treated him as if he was a person trying to escape from jail, trying to hurt one of them. Only move the person if they are in a dangerous place. Put something soft under his head. Do not hold them down, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, about these different seizures. This is the tonic, clonic seizure. And they got all these different seizures. And they all say, when they're consistently say, don't hold them down. Just make sure he's safe till he comes out of it. And don't leave him until he's well. They said most people's seizures will stop on their own. And the person will not need any medical help. If you have any concerns about them, you might want to think about when to call for an ambulance. They didn't pull out no stretcher for this brother. So, why did they put a bag over his head? Is it customary to put a bag over the head of an inmate in medical distress? Is it a different rule for medical provisions for inmates? Is it something that else, you know what I'm saying, supposed to happen with them? You know, and officers stated they did it because he tried to bite. Then he handcuffed him. Even I know placing a person in a prone position on their stomach with handcuffs behind the back will impact on the ability to breathe. I know that. There was a nurse there, right? Now, I'm assuming she's there for the health reason. So whatever they're doing, how it impacts on that man's health. But apparently, I don't know. I don't get it. She might as well stay home that day because she did not help this dude at all. He was identified as having a medical problem. Why on earth would they put him in that position? They had him on his back with his knees bent up and handcuffed from behind. They call that hog tie, right? That's the hog tie somebody, right? That's a very uncomfortable way to be in. That's when you want to make somebody uncomfortable. Also, he's not an escapee. The man just fell from about 5 feet up, and he had his seizure, according to them.
Mm-hmm.
Who hog-tied the medical?
Sound like the police took over. Sound like the police, or the officers took over a medical situation.
Right.
It should have been that and more it, like a medical situation.
Right, and even at that, you are this man. The nurse already said he had a seizure, and you already know he fell from about 5 feet up. The hell you handcuffing this man and taking his breath away? And he's telling you I can't breathe.
It's not a method of addressing a medically needy individual, but I'm starting to wonder, is that the way they address medically needy individuals who present some difficulty in prison? Because I can see why more people die. And there was so verbally polite during the horrific ordeal. We got you. You just had a, you know, you see the video. It's like, they should know that stress is going to impact on that man's health. Maybe the seizure caused him to appear to be biting. I don't know. I would attempt to bite, kick, butt my way out of this deadly scenario too. The nurse stated they were trying to protect him from himself and would not allow him to get up from the floor restraint when he was being restrained on his back and his stomach. Did that make sense? He protected him from himself. Well, who is there to protect him from them? No one. And I would think at least that would be the nurse's job to protect the health of the inmate, just in case the corrections officer just make it a little rough for him. You know what I'm saying? I can't help but wonder how many times inmates died under the restraint of corrections officers. The nurse, she could have stayed home. She didn't need to come to work that day. She did absolutely nothing for this guy. I can't help but think that these prison guards are maybe afraid of this inmate. Because what other reason are you hog-tiling this guy to do it only in there for something with a domestic thing? You know what I'm saying? So why did you do that? And the reason why I'm mad at this incident is because we looked at George Floyd in Minneapolis in broad daylight in front of people. And then we have which seemed to be a practice that they do, right? And I just saw this article and I said, it reminded me so much of George Floyd, except this guy's incarcerated and he's sick. And same scenario though. He's in custody, right? And they just, either they didn't know or they don't care how to handle him. But, you know, I'm saying if I know you're going to take somebody's breath away, you know, if you handcuff them and put them on their stomach, those guys got to know that. Right?
Right.
I mean, they should know that.
What are you complaining about? Difficult.
Huh?
He's already complaining about difficulty.
Right, he's already complaining, and you're saying he had a seizure, and you are recognizing that he fell from about 5 feet up. So I don't understand that, you know, like, and it was some brothers there, and I think it was a black lady there, too. A lady guard, the nurse was a female, a couple of white guys, you know, so it wasn't like a bunch of white people jumping on him. You know, but I'm trying to understand, like, you know, why nobody there said, you can't do this to him. Stop. Uncuff him, right? Let him sit up to where he's comfortable, right? Because he just had a seizure and he just fell off of that bed. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, that, you know, they fired them, though. But it's too late. That may prevent somebody else from being from dying, but it, Mr. Neville is gone, and for nothing. Well, where's the gurney? What happened to that? Oh, he just fell, and he had a seizure. No gurney? He fell off of the top bunk. And you see he's acting irrational. Everything is wrong with this dude? And that, now we'll never really know because he's dead. He can't even tell us what was happening. We can't even get his side. The only thing we only get is their story. Anyway, no gurney, no oxygen, no urgency to get him off cell block into the hands of capable medical providers. The only thing representing medical attention was the nurse who offered no medical attention. The medical intervention is taking too long. At least 26 minutes too long. That's, I think, how long that thing went. That doesn't make no sense to me. It's like, it reminds me very much of George Floyd. This guy's constantly yelling for his life, right? I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Calling for his mom. He's 56. And I don't know. I read the story. I was like, damn. What is going on? What is happening in our society in how we treat certain groups of people? You know, is it because he's black? Is it because he's an inmate? Is it because he was in there? But why did they treat that man like that? Why wasn't his life of value to anybody there? Because no one seemed to care. You know, and they seemed to be acting as if they were trying to help this guy. But you got to know you're not helping a guy that's sick by handcuffing him behind his back and laying him on his stomach. That's very uncomfortable. If you're not sick, you're not going to like that. You agree with that? Cute. No, I guess he's gone. Anyway. So this says something about our society. You know, and I'm not going to, this is an inmate. The guy's incarcerated. And one, these are corrections officers. And a nurse is here in this situation, which makes it even worse. And then we have George Floyd in the hands of police officers. Anyway, one narration of the video describes John as becoming combative as he attempts to get up. He's not combative, only trying to get up. They see they always change the narrative. Oh, he's being combative. Man, he had a seizure, right? He fell off of a bed. He fell from about 5 feet up onto the concrete. Come on, it just seems like they try to criminalize this dude. Oh, he's in jail. He's a criminal, I guess some people might think. Look, everybody in jail ain't up to no good all the time. You know what I'm saying? Some people there, like you said, innocent. And some people there are sick, should be treated accordingly. They recognize this guy as have been sick and have fallen, but they didn't treat him that way. They asked correction officers if they were all right, but ignored John's cries for help, indicating he was not all right. In this video, everybody check this video out if you get a chance. They're in there. You all right? You okay? You okay? You okay? And they say, yeah, I'm all right. I'm like, yo, the guy that's saying he's not all right is the guy you need to be listening to. Like, they would be working. I don't know if those guys got fired or not, but I don't know. I keep hearing people say about training. This is common sense. This ain't got nothing to do with no training. That man say he can't breathe. It's get him out of that position immediately. Just because someone talks doesn't mean that they can breathe. Ask any asthmatic. That's the warning sign. If he's able to talk and says he can't breathe, that's telling you have time to save his life. That's what that is. That's not saying, oh, ain't nothing wrong with him. That's ignorant. That's inconsiderate of another man's life. They say he can't breathe. That's giving you time to save his life. The guard pushes him down in the chair several quarters before the roughly 19-minute body camera video in. Body cameras on. So I'm thinking these guys think that they're doing the right thing, which is scary. In the second video, which is nearly 26 minutes long, Neville is moved into a small cell. As he is being transferred, Neville yells, "Help me, somebody." A guard tells him he's had a medical episode and he needs to calm down. Once in the cell, five officers remove Neville from the chair and lay him on a mattress. He yells, "I can't breathe, and please let me go." He shouted that he couldn't breathe at least 25 more times before one guard using bolt cutters to remove the handcuff that a key had broken off in. That's sad. Are they kidding? That's over 25 red flags. 25 reasons to save their own jobs if they didn't care about nothing. And their freedom, unless corrections officers are also accustomed to abusing, torturing, and killing with impunity. Come on now. Man, 25 times. At one point, the guard acknowledges that the handcuffs belong to him. That's coming out of your paycheck, another guard responds. Soon Neville stops yelling, y'all. He stops yelling while officers ask him if he's okay. No response can be heard on the video. After that, his legs are folded onto his back and he is locked in a room, right? The officers back out of the room, right? Oh, my. And I don't understand it because that's a red flag. A man is in active distress, yelling, moving, suddenly becomes inactive. Come on, this is not a thing where you need training. Why is he left alone in the painful, oxygen-deprived, hog-tied position after having a seizure? Why? Right, they back out of the room like they just put Mighty Joe Young in a handcuffed in a cell, which you shouldn't even do that to an animal. For you animal rights people listening to the show, I am no way of saying that that's okay to do to an animal either. But you left the man after he suddenly became quiet. Usually somebody making a lot of noise and suddenly become quiet is a red flag. That's not a good sign. The sign is that he is making noise and he's moving, because that says he's alive. He has life. When the closer he gets to exhibiting lifeless signs, the more danger he's in. So these guys right here backed out, right? Okay, this is the last scene shows a nurse standing at the window. Remember I said he's supposed to stay with the guy until he comes through it? Or when a person happens, if you thought he had a seizure, she should have been with him the whole time. She could have had a guard or two in there with her if she was scared. The nurse is standing at the window and looking at Neville, right? In a faint voice, the nurse appears to suggest that Neville wasn't breathing. You think the guards be entering the cell and the nurse checks Neville, who lets out a groan. The nurse applies a stethoscope to the then tells the guards, "I can't hear the heart rate." It says Neville has to be rolled on his back to be treated. She requests a defibrillator and performs CPR on him. Neville suffered a brain injury, they said, because his heart stopped beating, which deprived his brain of oxygen, according to an autopsy report, which also said he asphyxiated while being restrained, which is why I brought this incident up tonight. And I'm starting to think that I bet any amount of money that would not happen to a white guy. Maybe that wouldn't happen to in a middle class neighborhood like George Floyd. I bet you to a black guy in a middle class neighborhood that might happen. I don't know. I'm going to be playing a race card, but I have to play the race card because it looks like race is it's a card that's being played. This man died is exactly like George Floyd. His heart stopped beating, deprived his oxygen, drained the oxygen. An autopsy report also said he asphyxiated while being restrained. You know, he was in the jail for nothing. He was going to get home. He was going to get up. Even if they convicted him of that, he wasn't going to be in prison for a long time. Anyway, I don't know. I'm just wondering. The lives of inmates are placed in the not-so-capable hands of the correction officers. I wonder if anyone knew that what they were doing would kill John or anybody. They should have known. Sadly, the attorney for Neville says, Neville family says, there have been others who didn't see a problem with the way Neville was treated. Now, if those others are part of the corrections, we have a problem. Because, that's the way you treat sick people. People who are having a problem coming out of a seizure, coming out of having a problem from falling from about 5 feet. I hate to see the way they treat an aggressive inmate. There are others that see no problem with how John was treated? Really? That's very scary. Imagine placing the life of someone in the hands of someone who has not learned from this experience. I hope those others are not in law enforcement or corrections or any field that is responsible for providing medical assistance and or restraint to anyone. You don't get to kill somebody because you have them in your custody and you are a member or part of law enforcement or corrections. You do not get to kill with impunity. You do not get to have disregard for their health, for their life. The attorney said it was a very definite lack of respect for human dignity, for human life, especially a black man, a black human life. The video won't show anyone kicking Mr. Neville or hitting Mr. Neville or actively attacking him, he said. They just didn't give a damn about him. And I don't know which is worse. It was a life, according to the coroner, that he shouldn't have died, didn't have to die. And I'm in total agreement with him that this guy should not be dead. On the Forsyth County Sheriff, Bobby Kimbrough, apologized to the Netville family, okay? Because he saw the tape, he apologized, right? During the news conference for the man's death, saying he too cried after seeing the video. This is the county sheriff, the Forsyth County Sheriff said he cried after seeing the video. All right? He said Neville's death has led to changes in training involving medical care providers and that he would name a portion of the jail for Neville. All right? The sad thing about this video is these prison guards and nurse are acting like they are helping John when in reality they are harming and killing John. Do they really think that this was appropriate? Was an appropriate way to address a man in medical and eventually mental distress or duress? He is not a dangerous animal. He is a man. Prisoners are people too. It is not a matter of training, but a matter of regard for human life. About 5 months later, Floyd was taken in police custody, resist being placed in the back of a police SUV for medical reasons. It's identified as a medical in medical distress and is restrained and killed by police after repeatedly telling them, "I can't breathe." This treatment is reminiscent of the treatment of African Americans the treatment African Americans have received in this country since their captivity. Two black men sentenced to death in non-lethal scenarios. Both were in medical distress. Both were crying, fighting, and begging for life. Both deaths were preventable. Protesting continues, but when? When? When will the senseless killing stop? This is crazy. Oh, we have callers. I'm sorry. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought. You have 2 minutes.
Yeah, just once again, I'd like to thank the Watchman for his diligence and informing us all of things that are unjust, unfair, and deadly to us. And keep up the good work. We appreciate your position. God bless you and cause you to prosper in your endeavor, that this society might change for the better for all of us. All of us have to live good and peaceable lives.
Amen. This is ridiculous, and I think there's probably been no change. It's been a metamorphosis in a sense of a change, but no change in how certain populations are treated in this country. And this is why people on the street now, some people are out there protesting. You know, and this is why some people are angry, have these dispositions and everything, distrust of the systems, the legal systems, police, the judicial system and everything. You know, sounds like just nobody, some people don't care. And it doesn't matter who they are, because it's like I'm saying, it was a black and white people. I don't know if anybody was Latino or anything like that in this this guy in this jail. And I think it was an Asian brother, white guys, and I think one guy might be black in the Chauvin Floyd situation. I think one guy is black. I think one of the officers, I think Lane might be black. I'm not sure. Anyway, but black or white, I don't care what color you are, that no man is deserves this kind of treatment. They treat this man like he was an animal. And I think the animal rights people would have had an objection to the way an animal or treating an animal the way they treated him, a sick animal, the way they treated this man. He didn't get no kind of help. Nothing. He fall from 5 feet up. He got no help. George Floyd got no help. None. And both deaths were avoidable. So I want to encourage everybody to take a look at those videos and you see for yourself. You don't have to just rely on what I'm saying. You can get your own information. And till next week, I want to thank all everybody that called in, people that are listening, download the shows. You can download the show at any time. You don't have to after the show's off on Saturday. Like, it should be up tomorrow if you miss it tonight. So remember, Black Urban America on Tuesday. And until next week, y'all, each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.